Our scripture lesson is found in Acts chapter 28 and verses 11 to 16. After 3 months, we set sail on a ship that had wintered in the island, a ship of Alexandria, with the twin gods as a figurehead. Putting in at Syracuse, we stayed there for 3 days. From there, we made a circuit and arrived at Rhegium, and after 1 day, a south wind sprang up, and on the second day, we came to Puteoli. There, we found brothers and were invited to stay with them for 7 days, and so we came to Rome. And the brothers there, when they heard about us, came as far as the Forum of Appius and three taverns to meet us. On seeing them, Paul thanked God and took courage. And when he came into Rome, Paul was allowed to stay by himself with a soldier who guarded him.
You may be seated, dears. We're winding down our long Acts series. Today's is the 131st installment of this series. Lord willing, we have 3 more sermons that will close out the book in the end of chapter 28. And then in the month of October, Lord willing, begin a brand new series in the book of Revelation. But for now, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, bless the church. May they sit at Jesus' feet and hear him today and feast on him in word and sacrament. Thank you that you've brought us up into the heavenlies to be nourished in Christ. Grant that we would hear Jesus and his gospel of grace today and be built up in our most holy faith. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Rome is sometimes called the eternal city, and even though we, especially as Protestants, attach no special or spiritual inherent significance to Rome as a sort of special place in terms of ecclesiology, nonetheless, undoubtedly in God's sovereignty and his way of doing things, it became an extraordinary important place, especially in this time of history and before, and even in Daniel 2, where Elder John read the Old Testament lesson or reading, where we saw the stone of Christ's new covenant church kingdom crushing Rome and all the other previous established kingdoms that God had allowed to exist. Rome was a center of culture, government, rule. Basically, it ruled the world, much of it that we are aware of. The old expression was that all the roads led to Rome, and we're going to extrapolate a little bit on that concept today and see that whereas Paul ended up in Rome and he would give his life there for the Lord Jesus and be martyred for him, we also inch our way to glory one step at a time, just like Paul did, as described in today's text. In this lesson, Paul enters the old empire's capital city, and like I mentioned, we also know that he was ushered into heaven from that place about 8 years later, after the events described here in Acts 28, which occurred in about 60 AD. He was brought up into glory as a martyred saint. Therefore, with the apostle, we should make it our goal today to walk with Christ to the very end of our lives. We're going to study Acts 28, 11 through 16. Finally, in Rome, the doctrine. Paul's arrival in Rome reminds the true church of our journey to glory. Now, did the great apostle know that his life would end in Rome at this point? Can't be sure, but he was always ready to lay down body and soul, whatever he had, for the Lord Jesus. He had said as much in this book of Acts earlier, in chapter 21 at verse 13 and many other places. And just as Paul bumped along his way from originally Crete to Malta, now to these various places listed in today's scripture lesson, and finally ends up in Rome, so we also do the same thing, sometimes alone, except with one other human, the divine human person of Jesus, and other times with the fellowship or the presence of other believers that are with us in our journey. So our sanctification walk, or life in Christ, growth in Jesus, is very analogous to what Paul underwent here in today's text. So, Let us look at this, that Paul's arrival in Rome does remind us, the true church, of our journey to glory. This trek is met with many stops along the way. And in some cases, stops along the way are not all that convenient. How many of us prefer a lot of layovers in airports intervening between our starting points and our ending destinations? Those are usually not so convenient. It's usually a little nicer just to go from one place to where we're wanting to end up. But in these six verses that make up today's scripture lesson, the Apostle Paul and his friend Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, and also the Gospel of Luke, and also Aristarchus, another Christian churchman that was with them, find themselves in no less than seven municipalities or places. At some of these stations, no one was there to greet them at all. But at others, Christian friends traveled to meet and greet them and welcome them to Italy. Is that not how it often is with us in our Christian lives? Some parts of our experience have to be traversed without others, except Jesus. And other dimensions are graced by the presence and love of a lot of saints in Jesus' church. Where are you and I today in this part of our journey right now? Some of us may be closer to home than others just by virtue of age or health, but the way, the path, is still the same. It is the person, Jesus, about whom he himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He is the blessed Lord Jesus. And whether we are just starting our trek in Christ or we're toward the end of it, Christ himself is the beginning point, the end point, and everything in between. Paul's arrival in Rome reminds the true church of our journey to glory. This trek is met with many stops along the way, and in all of them, God's grace in Christ is evident. It's intriguing to look at the various sites mentioned in today's scripture lesson and to consider God's tenderness to his beloved churchman Paul in many of them. While on Malta, which we studied last week, the apostle and his friends are treated very kindly and graciously. They're given everything they need for the rest of their journey. The people there, the Maltese, are appreciative. They're healed. They receive good news. A church is going to get started there. They're very, very appreciative. At Regium, a gentle south wind pushes them along in verse 13. That's always nice. At Puteoli, Paul gets to spend a whole week with some Christian brothers in their homes there. That's verse 14. On top of all that, Roman churchmen venture 40 miles from the capital to greet Paul at the Forum of Appius, verse 15. And then others come from Rome to hail him at Three Taverns, which was some 28 miles from the capital city. We read that in verse 15 as well. And then finally, when Paul gets into the famous city of Rome, in verse 16, he has the privilege of a Roman citizen, and he is allowed to be kept under house arrest with but one Roman soldier guarding him. None of this is to suggest that Paul's entrance into Rome was analogous to our Lord Jesus Christ's triumphal entry into Jerusalem on the first Palm Sunday, but nonetheless, when we look at it from a big perspective, it really wasn't all that bad. And our lives, in so many ways, are graced by God's sweetness and tenderness and goodness and kindness to us, even in temporal things. And we should be very appreciative for them all. There's our doctrine. Paul's arrival in Rome reminds us, the true church, of our journey to glory. Let's contemplate now these verses, 11 to 16, and consider the nature of our pilgrim progress in Christ. Paul's inching of his way from the small, relatively insignificant barbarian, or so thought by the Romans, island of Malta, to the world-famous capital and, for all practical purposes, center of the earth's government and culture and rule, Rome, is somewhat analogous to the ground that we, the members of Christ's true church, also cover in this life. And therefore, let us now better comprehend the nature of our pilgrim progress in Christ. Verses 11 to 13. Various ports gauge our nearness to Jesus. After 3 months, that was 3 months they spent in Malta, we set sail in a ship that was wintered in the island, a ship of Alexandria, that would be an Egyptian ship, with the twin gods as a figurehead. These would be Castor and Pollux, the twin sons of Zeus in Greek mythology, that was considered a guardian of seafarers. And putting in at Syracuse, which would be on the eastern shore of Sicily, away from Malta by this point, we stayed there for 3 days. And from there we made a circuit and arrived at Rhegium, which is right on the tip of the boot of Italy. And after 1 day, a south wind sprang up, and on the second day we came to Puteoli, which was a port around the bend of Italy, the western side, up a bit. And there is our reading. Now, when we look at a map of Paul's journey detailed for us here in these three verses, we discover that overall he travels about 500 miles from Malta, where the ship had crashed on the reef outside the island, to the capital city of Rome. Now, the part of the trip that's covered in verses 11 to 13 are about 400 of those 500 miles, and all of them are on the sea. These places are really port cities or towns. And from Puteoli to Rome, about that 100 miles, the expedition would be made on foot or by some land conveyance. Now, all that to say that we also put in at our spiritual ports from time to time, Lord's Day to Lord's Day, but even in various seasons of our lives, where these are marked by God's grace and growth in Christ, and we see that and we take note of it, and we see where we've grown in Christ, where we used to be this tall, now we've grown up in who He is. It's interesting to observe how the Holy Spirit inspired Luke to record the numbers of days that Paul and his friends spent in these various places. There's some 90 days in Malta, plenty of time to set the foundation for a church there. We saw that in verse 11a. They spent 3 days in Syracuse on Sicily, verse 12, 1 day in Rhegium, the tip of the boot, in Italy, and 2 days were necessary to get to Puteoli, verse 13b. Then we know from the next verse 14, but they stayed in Puteoli with Christians for a whole week, for 7 days, undoubtedly marking the Lord's Day with them. With every stop and each day, Paul was getting nearer to Jesus in his sanctification, and whether he knew it or not, closer to glory, in that years later in Rome, he would be martyred for his faith. We should look at our sojourn on earth in a similar manner, recognizing that we also are making progress in Christ as we grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord as His church, Lord's Day to Lord's Day, and then one day we will be fully in His presence in a way that only can be known in glory. The nature of our pilgrim progress in Christ, various ports gauge our nearness to Jesus, and then verses 14 and 15, the church's fellowship encourages us on our way. There we found, in Puteoli, there we found brothers and were invited to stay with them for 7 days. And so we came to Rome. And the brothers there, when they heard about us, came as far as the Forum of Appius and three taverns to meet us. On seeing them, Paul thanked God and took courage. Now when Luke employs the words of verse 14b, and I'm quoting, "And so we came to Rome," he probably means this in a very general sense, because according to the chronology of the text, it would seem that they're still about 130 miles from the capital city at this point. Maybe he meant by this, "in this manner of travel we came to Rome," or perhaps he was referring to the fact that Puteoli was an important port from which one could make it to Rome, traversing the famous Appian Way from there. At any rate, the main point that we want to really focus on here is the sweet fellowship of the saints in Christ's church, and how this must have been a blessed balm to the heart and soul of Paul and Luke and Aristarchus and many other Christians that had already been gathered to the church, not to mention the brothers and sisters who lived in Puteoli Verse 15 is very intriguing, dear saints, because it teaches us that the news of Paul's coming to Rome had gotten to the church in the capital. And this is before they had television, telephones, tele-anything, electronics, email, text, whatever. The news had gotten all the way to Rome that Paul was coming. And the believers there, in their excitement, they leave their homes and their jobs, some of them who were able to do so, and venture down the Appian Way from Rome to the two stopover spots that they were almost positive they could meet Paul. One would be the Forum of Appius, which I mentioned was about 40 miles from Rome, and the other would be Three Taverns, a town that was about 28 miles from the Eternal City. Now, 3 years earlier, in 57 A.D., Paul had penned to the church in Rome what is arguably the greatest piece of personal correspondence ever written in the entire history of the world under any circumstances. And of course, we're referring to the Epistle of Paul to the church in Rome, or as it is commonly called, Romans, the book. In that most famous letter, the apostle had talked about his desire to finally someday get to Rome and visit the church there and impart some spiritual giftedness to them, and from them also to receive some spiritual grace as well. We can read about that in Romans 1, verses 11 and 12. Now that opportunity is beginning, even before Paul ever crosses the city limit boundary of Rome itself. The events of chapter 28 of Acts were occurring in 60 A.D., and Paul would live about another 8 years or so, much of it in, with, and around the members, these members and others of the church in Rome. But his very first encounters with them were not in Rome itself, but on the way there, as they came out to greet and meet him at the Forum of Appius and Three Taverns. And so it is also with us. We also are bolstered by and buoyed up by the lovely camaraderie of the regenerate believers in Christ's faithful church, even here, every Lord's Day as we come together and are renewed and refreshed and encouraged in our most holy faith. Verse 15b really pretty much sums it up for the Apostle Paul and for us as well, where it is said that on seeing them, the Roman Christians, Paul thanked God and took courage. The nature of our pilgrim progress in Christ, various ports gauge our nearness to Jesus. The church's fellowship encourages us on our way. Verse 16, God's kindness sweetens our situations down here. And when we came into Rome, Paul was allowed to stay by himself with the soldier who guarded him. So Paul checks into the Roman Motel 6, or perhaps he had opportunity to hook up with one of the Christians there in the church who had an extra room somewhere. We don't really know, obviously, from this text. We do know that he was under house arrest with one soldier guarding him. By the way, can we imagine what it would have been like to be Paul's personal bodyguard? What an opportunity to be just soaking in the grace of Christ at every turn. House arrest was a whole lot better than the alternatives, wouldn't it be? A jail or a prison or stocks or something like that. His being a Roman citizen was a very big deal, and again we see the God-ordained advantage God had given him. The Roman authorities very well knew that the apostle was no threat to them. They probably already knew that he was completely innocent. The news had probably already gotten up there to that court. They knew he wasn't a candidate to flee the country, and hence they didn't need to trouble themselves with a lot of soldiery to keep an eye on him. We also get to enjoy a lot of civil benefits that our Heavenly Father graciously provides us, and we should be good stewards of those. We are very foolish and unwise when or if we are not grateful to God for benefits and advantages that many of our fellow Christians, even today in the world, could only dream of. Like Paul, let us use these privileges and benefits for the glory of Christ, the good of the church, and the spread of the gospel. So, we've seen the doctrine, done some exposition. Let's do some more application and grasp together how we should understand our daily walk of faith. You know, life has its ups and downs. It's exciting and blah times. Certainly on that ship on the way to Malta, that was exciting. It wouldn't have been pleasant. Other times probably were pretty blah, having to take the long walk up to Rome from Puteoli. But everything in our life has a purpose, a meaning. All of it's designed for something in the economy of God for us, His church. Therefore, let us now venture in closing on how we should understand our daily walk of faith. First, much of it is beyond our control. About 5 years earlier, in about 55 AD, the Apostle Paul had penned these words to another church, Corinth, in 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. And now the Apostle Paul gets an opportunity to practice what he preached, walk by faith, not by sight. Not knowing exactly what would await him in Rome, except a trial to be sure. Could he have known that the ship that left Crete months earlier would end up crashed off of Malta, and that from there he would have to hopscotch his way up north to Rome? Probably not. Who among us who has ever lost a loved one unexpectedly, or who got an alarming medical report without warning, or who got laid off without much notice, cannot relate to the fact that much of the true Christian's life circumstances really are beyond our control? But that is a big part of what it means to be a faithful Christian, walk by faith and not by sight. The knowledge that a lot of life is outside of our ability to manipulate it and to control it. And as sinners, of course, that's one of our maladies and idolatries, is wanting to control everything. This is a principal part of our daily walk of faith in Jesus. As we trust our Heavenly Father to care for us, His church children, and for those people that we love and cherish, those members of our families, our church, whatever it may be, people that we care for, we need to know that He has provided us already in Jesus Christ everything that we could possibly need or want. In fact, He's given us our heart's desires. If our sins are gone and we're forgiven and we can receive absolution with a clean and clear heart, we are happy people. And we are blessed people in Jesus. How we should understand our daily walk of faith. Much of it is beyond our control, but all of it is designed to conform us into Christ's image. You know that the Apostle Paul became a better man and a more mature Christian, churchman, and apostle through everything that transpired through all the book of Acts, but particularly in these last couple of chapters, 27 and 28. From the hair-raising sea adventure to the calm and kindness of Malta, from the encouragement he received from Christians on his way to Rome to his accommodations there, all of this was conceived by God, his Father, and ours to make him and us more like Jesus. God will have his Son replicated in the world, before the nations of the world, before the people of the world, to show forth his true glory in this world. And the glory of God is seen in the face of Jesus Christ himself and in no other place. As long as our hearts and desires and wills are focused on him, we are in the will of God as his church. And God will shine forth on earth. Therefore, let us fully partake of Jesus today. Let us taste and see that the Lord is good. Let us hear this gospel of grace, that Jesus Christ came to save sinners, not good people, to save us from our sins and deliver us from our righteous damnation to an eternal hell, into the glorious arms of a loving, kind, merciful, gentle, and gracious God. Let us taste him. Let us see him. Let us hear him, and may our gospel faith in Christ's blood and in righteousness encourage us through this life all the way to the world to come. Beloved, finally in Rome reminds us that to be in Christ as his true church is to be in the city of God and to possess a citizenship that is glorious, eternal, unchangeable, marvelous, and wonderful. finally in Rome. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you brought us all the way home in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that the apostles' life and ministry and trek to Rome really is sort of a paradigm for the way you work in us, your people. Grant to us now as we partake of the supper of the Lord, the hearts filled with joy and wanting to feast on Jesus, his flesh and his blood. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.